You're listening to Morning Edition from Red River Radio. I'm Chuck Smith. This week, commentator Dr. Gary Joyner takes a look back at the important role steamboats played in the development of America's interior.
If you can hear this broadcast, you live in a place that was once the Far West. When most people think of Western pioneers, they think about Conestoga wagons and the wagon trains plying the Santa Fe or Chisholm Trail. In fact, when people migrated west, at some point a steamboat was probably involved. Who would have thought that when Robert Fulton invented the steam engine and placed it aboard a small vessel called the Clermont on the Hudson River in New York, that within less than two decades his modest invention would greatly open Western migration to North America? Steamboats, either sidewheelers or sternwheelers, quickly became the primary mover of people and goods on the interior waters of America. In fact, they ushered in the creation of hundreds, if not thousands, of towns. These new places were always located at the intersection of two things, most often a trail, less frequently a road, and a navigable stream. And our region was certainly no exception to this. Relatively shallow but navigable streams became the interstate highways of their day, allowing the steamboats to bring people and goods into the interior, and equally important, to transport raw materials and finished goods to large markets. The wealth of the South prior to the Civil War was overwhelmingly based on cotton, and the steamboats provided the only efficient means of moving hundreds of bales per vessel to the great markets, primarily to New Orleans. Steamboats were the 18-wheelers of their day. Successful towns owed their livelihoods to these majestic wooden boats, usually sporting two tall chimneys, which we call smokestacks, and belching clouds of black smoke. The vessels carried mail and extended civilization much farther than any other means available at the time. Built on interior shipyards like Jeffersonville, Indiana, and Mound City, Illinois, these elegant craft came in a multitude of sizes and shapes. The average life expectancy was only 5 years, and they were very susceptible to explosions from their boilers and fires from their own cinders, and they were vulnerable to submerged logs or snags in the waterways. They were either propelled by side wheels, two paddle wheels, one on either side, and later by more efficient stern wheels, what we most often see in the movies about riverboat gamblers. Today, very few remain operational. One of the most famous is the Delta Queen, which was built at the turn of the 20th century in California. It has an iron hull, but a wooden superstructure. The interior is graciously appointed with fine woods and stained glass. There is no better way to see a river than from the deck of a steamboat, traveling just a few miles an hour. I was privileged to serve as a historian on a cruise in 2005, and I gained a new perspective of river travel. Viewing a historic site from a map, an aerial photograph, or even from the banks of the river is simply not the same as seeing it from the middle of the river. As we steamed up the Red River, I thought about Admiral David Dixon Porter, who brought far too many of his boats up the river in the spring of 1864 in an effort to capture Shreveport. I must admit there were some aha moments as I saw the river from the deck of the Delta Queen. As I think of the contribution of the steamboat to the history of America, I'm happy that we still have an opportunity to try this old-fashioned mode of travel. If you would like to see how our ancestors who opened the West traveled on these watery highways of their day, take a riverboat cruise. Perhaps it will change your perspective of travel and of history as well, and that you'll agree with me that history matters.
Dr. Gary Joyner is an associate professor of history at LSU Shreveport and is featured each Tuesday morning at 7:45 on Red River Radio.